This is episode 21 of IDRA Class Notes.
The six keys, the seven keys, the standards, and they're very good, but what we said, let's, as we work, have a parallel model where we start from the parent as first teacher, but not concerned so much about how to teach the parent to be that, but documenting how families of all classes and races are already doing
Absolutely.
It. In other words, to validate what they're doing. Because the validating of what is so important to us. Rather than, let's say, from a point of view of I've got information that you don't have and I'm the information giver, we're saying let's always start on an equal basis and always start from what are the gifts the parent gives.
Welcome to the Class Notes podcast from the Intercultural Development Research Association. I'm Dr. Bradley Scott, and I want to thank you for listening once again. Remember, IDRA is a small organization with a very, very big mission to create schools that work for all children. Now, in this podcast series, we explore issues facing education today and strategies for teachers and administrators to better serve every student. And we would love to hear from you, love to hear your thoughts, your questions, your suggestions. There will be details at the end of the podcast on how to contact us. By the way, we also have set up an email alert to let you know when a new episode of the Class Notes is available. And if you're not subscribing to our podcast, our email alerts can help you to stay up to date. Just go to our website and sign up. But I'm really happy to have our guest again with us today. Our topic for today is engaging parents in education, and I'm speaking to Mr. Aurelio Montemayor, who is one of the lead trainers at the Intercultural Development Research Association, and he happens to be the director of our Parent Information Resource Center. Now, the reason why I'm excited to talk to Aurelio today is because of a publication that came across my desk. It's called Engaging Parents in Education, Lessons from Five Parental Information and Resource Centers. And it just so happens that one of the projects in that publication is directed by Aurelio. Now, Aurelio brings extensive experience in working with school personnel and parents and students. His career in education spans more than four decades, although he looks like a teenager, and has included teaching at the high school level, middle school level, and elementary school levels. He received his bachelor's in English and in philosophy from the St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas, and a master's degree in bilingual education from Antioch Graduate School of Education in Ohio. He is a man who is passionate about his work, and he is a man who works very closely and intensely with people, and I like about him that he doesn't mind seeing the world from their point of view, which says a lot about him. So I'm excited to have you with us again today, Aurelio. I really appreciate your taking some time to sit down with me and talking about this fascinating publication, but more than the publication, talking about what the publication reflects in terms of the work that you and the other Parent Information Resource Centers do. And so if I could just get things started by first of all asking you to tell our listeners, what is a Parent Information Resource Center?
Thank you, Bradley. Continuing our dialogue that we've been having for quite a few years, in this case about parent involvement in education. The Parent Involvement Resource Centers are, they've been around for over 10 years. And the basic function is to support states and schools in having a very dynamic, organic, and true involvement of families in education. The IDRA PERC, we're in our third iteration of these resource centers, is a statewide PERC, has been from the very beginning. And what happened a couple of years ago, the Department of Education said, well, we've been having these resource centers, these PERCs all over the country and in some of the territories. Let's look at what they're doing, and out of those, let's call some that are doing some fairly unique and strong things. So there was a big net put out there and surveyed a lot of our peers in the field. And all PERCs are doing good stuff, but they were looking for some unique characteristics or qualities, because we obviously have a lot of things in common. We all have, for example, to carry out the mandates of No Child Left Behind,
sure,
and look especially at Title I, Section 1118, parent involvement. That's a given. But it's how we give life to it, but also how centers take other resources that exist and multiply the resources and the impact that we had. And so, obviously, I was very honored that our work has been acknowledged in this way in this publication. It's a very practical publication. It really, what it does, it highlights the kinds of practices we're doing that are useful if you're a decision maker in a school district or a parent outreach worker or a community member. Here are some things that make sense and that go beyond the letter of the law. Along with IDRA in San Antonio, Texas, there were four other groups. There was the Academic Development Institute, PERC, in Illinois, the Family Works, a program of family services agency in Maryland, the Indiana Center for Family, School, and Community Partnerships in Indiana, and the Utah Family Center, now operating as a Utah Family Partnership Network in Utah. So we had quite a spread and quite a variety and contrast in terms of practices. I'd like to just mention that the key roles for a PERC are, and these are defined in our funding and by our funder, by the Department of Education. The key roles are that we provide leadership, technical assistance, and support in the implementation of successful and effective parent involvement practices, programs, and activities. All of these, of course, intended to improve student academic achievement. The ultimate benefactor and why all this is done, it's not because we love parents, we obviously do, but it's because it's the children we're most concerned about. And the other thing that underpins everything we're doing is the research continues to mount that the connection between parent engagement and student achievement is very high. Absolutely. It's just in your equity center work, that keeps coming up. Secondly, strengthening partnerships among parents, teachers, principals, administrators, and other school personnel in meeting the educational needs of the children. Another key role is that we strengthen that relationship between parents and their children's school, and that we finally provide a comprehensive approach to improve student learning, where it's through coordination, collaboration, integration of federal, state, and local services and programs. And that last one, I think, is one that I think I feel very proud about our history here at IDRA in terms of our internally how our projects and our programs collaborate, but how our net extends to many, many different parts of the community in this state and in the region so that we can multiply and accelerate the resources to families and to children.
As well as the impact that you create across the state. Well, what really sparked my attention in the document itself speaks to one of the key roles that you just mentioned, the notion of strengthening partnerships among parents with teachers, principals, administrators, and other school personnel and meeting the educational needs of children and also community people. Community sectors. I'm very much aware, for instance, of the work that the PERC did in support of the community dialogues that were going on, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a moment. So let me just ask this follow-up question, Aurelio, in terms of your project being included in this particular publication. You were obviously picked because of some of the unique kinds of things that you were doing to strengthen parents' capacities to be invested in their kids' best interests in schools. Can you talk about some of those unique things that sort of jump out that cause your PERC to be highlighted among those five?
Well, one of the things is, and we've already had other conversations that we've taped on this, is our family leadership model.
Absolutely.
We look at our work with parents from the eyes of the parent. The model that is very strong right now, and for example, there's a new iteration of the kind of curriculum for parents, and you know that there are a set of standards that have been refined over the last 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, Epstein and Anderson, and many people have been, I remember 30 years ago, the National Committee for Citizens in Education started looking at research, and I remember that we were partners in that as they were doing it. The accumulation of the research and the models that are coming out are very good, but they're from the institutional point of view. The six keys, the seven keys, the standards, and they're very good, but what we said, let's, as we work, have a parallel model where we start from the parent as first teacher, but not concerned so much about how to teach the parent to be that, but documenting how families of all classes and races are already doing
Absolutely.
It. In other words, to validate what they're doing. Because the validating of what is so important to us. It, rather than, let's say, from a point of view of I've got information that you don't have and I'm the information giver, we're saying let's always start on an equal basis and always start from what are the gifts the parent gives. So at the first stage we see is a parent is the first and continuing teacher of the child. There is no other place where a child will absorb and learn principles
more fundamentally than in the family.
And I'm hoping that our listeners will go back and check out that particular podcast, because you did really describe that one in depth, and I think offered some really excellent points for teachers and administrators to follow.
Now, in that design, the fourth circle, or the outer circle, or the outer part that we're looking at, is how we're defining family leadership. Rather than looking for a parent on a committee, a parent as a decision maker, although that's part of it, we're looking at the families that are actually the magnets for bringing other families together. We're looking at collective leadership rather than just individualistic leadership and stuff like that. And our work there is, I think, unique and keeps reinforcing. And by the way, it's also one of the cutting edges are the areas where research is just starting to connect the dots.
And open up and connect,
you know, because when you have parents that come together in a neighborhood to improve their school, their particular children's scores might or might not go up. But eventually we know that an excellent neighborhood public school is going to come from that community keeping it healthy, alive,
and engaging,
and providing an excellent education.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's there, and I think when we were interviewed and we gave a lot of information, all the centers gave a lot of time for this publication to come out. I think, though, another unique thing that really stood out as perks were being looked at is that through our perk being situated in an organization, though, although we are not large in number, we have a very broad vision of what we're looking at in education. For quite a while, IDRA has seen the power of being a convener of different stakeholders in the community and bringing people together, whether it's the private sector, universities, families, the works. Well, the PERC was able to be part of that and support that. So we, for example, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've had 3 major convenings in the state of Texas. And now they've even, you know, multiplied through
across
your work
the region,
all over
absolutely.
The South. Yes. One was looking at pre-K through 16 education, the pipeline. We saw a need to bring together the stakeholders, the professionals, the communities that all have either a vested interest because that's their children, or because they're the providers of the service, or because they're the business community, whatever. And so we looked at something called interaction. And we had our state coordinating board that oversees higher education in the state host that. And we also met around the state where we brought universities, communities, parents, schools together to K-12 education. And the PERC was very, very key in making sure that families who had no other hat to wear but as families, they didn't happen to be teachers or college professors or business people, families whose children are in the public school stream, who needed to be there to speak about how we can create a seamless pipeline from when the child first goes to school to the institution to when they get their first degree. And so that convening was very powerful, but obviously went beyond the resources that our PERC, even our whole budget, couldn't support. Forget just a piece
absolutely.
Of it, you know. But because we were able to collaborate so well in that, that convening was very powerful. Another one was one that, in fact, you were at the head of, which started out with a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Brown versus Topeka Board of Education decision, which was critical for the education of all children, certainly children that are poor and children of color. And what was that like, Brett?
Well, for us, you know that that was an issue of looking at, first of all, what the decision was all about in Brown versus the Board of Education of Topeka, Kansas. And then at that time, it was how we were going to expand what Brown stood for and fulfilling the promise of Brown to populations other than just African-American children alone. And so we were first engaged in expanding that notion to Latino children. And out of that has grown a series of dialogues across Texas, New Mexico, Arkansas, and it will be expanded even further into the Old South. But those were community-based dialogues where clearly, once again, parents were engaged in looking at to what degree public schools were fulfilling the promise of equal or equitable educational opportunity for their children who were black and brown and poor, linguistically different. So it has been a compelling set of discussions, and clearly the PERC's collaboration with the Equity Assistance Center and with the Brown and Mendez work of IDRA was an important collaboration.
You know, in our annual report as PERCs, we always have to do the bean counting, the who do we serve. And we are required that at least 50% of our resources go to those families that are considered Title I, whose children are on free or reduced lunch. Well, when we were talking about Brown and Mendez,
And first of all, what we all saw as a great possibility is that the Latino community has to know that we were present and that decision very much furthered our cause. There was a previous case that led up to Brown, okay? And so it obviously connects very much to the PERC mandate, because Title I is concerned about children that are poor,
exactly,
children that are of color.
Exactly.
I mean, that's there. And so, again, it was another event where we were able to plug in and connect PERC resources and magnify them in a way we couldn't have otherwise. A third convening that we had that has led to some technology work with families was Graduation Guaranteed, where we brought together, with co-sponsorship in Texas with the League of United Latin American Citizens. It was a statewide co-sponsored event. It was, again, a convening where students and parents and school board members all spoke to the issue of how can we help schools increase their holding power, what is called dropout prevention, but we'd rather say look at it from the institutional point of view. Again, this was a cross-stakeholder event that actually brought out, and we're using now very strongly, an online database that families can use to look at how their school is doing, how their children are doing by many different factors, including how they're doing on the test, obviously if they're doing adequate yearly progress or not, but many other factors. And what really gave this effort a lot of impetus is that we had, again, the PERC brought in families, community representatives, and students to testify around these issues.
Two important points, Aurelio, one of which, that portal is quite powerful and is a very useful tool. Our listeners should certainly access that through the IDRA website. Additionally, Dr. Maria Robledo Montesel talked about this Quality Schools Framework, one of our previous podcasts. So I would encourage our listeners, once again, to check out our podcast series, where she describes that framework and the issues of school holding power that you have just spoken to. I know our time is getting short, but I do have one important question around this publication and the information. I found the information to be fascinating across all of the PERC centers, and of course, particularly the one here at IDRA. But how should teachers and administrators use this kind of a publication and what's found therein? You talked about some of the very practical things that are contained in. How should they actually use this?
Well, if you just look at the table of contents and how it's organized, you can see that there's very practical, it is not comprehensive, it's more indicative of good work. You know, you look at, for example, how have PERCs been getting federal law into the hands and the understanding of families, building the issues that No Child Left Behind and Title I mandates says any school that's receiving federal money has to do these things. But how do you do that in a statewide fashion? How do you, as we were just talking, promote cross-taker? There are very specific kinds of things that you can see. It's not a cookbook, but it's got strong ideas. And you, of course, can contact any of them, the people, any of us as PERCs,
sure,
and we can give you more specific. Send a note to our email address, care of the PERC or care of myself, Aurelio Montemayor. We will be glad to share online information that we have, from training designs to how to plan the stuff out, how do you assess needs that families have. There's very specific kinds of stuff in here that is very fruitful, but because it's a brief publication, it's 65 pages long, you don't have a big thick book, but it through it you can connect to at least five centers that have a lot of resources and other sources of information.
Absolutely. In fact, a wealth of information. In closing, as I normally like to do, what is one of the big challenges, if you were to name one of the big challenges for strengthening parent engagement and involvement in public schools? One of our big challenges
we still need to look at. One that I'm working on right now is we pretty much know how to do good workshops for parents. I mean, the people that are doing good stuff, we've got that handled. We've got the language piece almost handled, but the outreach is still not there in terms of, we're still seeing how do we get 30 warm bodies into a room. In other words, I'm presenting this wonderful stuff. Well, I think that we need to look at the actual direct communication between school and home and the personal aspect of that. That even if it's bilingual, if it's a note, it's still not enough. It's not enough for a middle-class professional, and it's certainly not enough for a single mother who's barely hanging on by her fingernails. So that outreach to families and making that connection real between school people and families, that's still a huge challenge.
That's great, Aurelio. I am really excited about this publication and the innovations in education that it describes across these five perks. I'm hoping that people will be willing to go online at the Department of Education's website in order to look at the publication and pick up the publication. It is accessible through that website. But I was absolutely insistent that I wanted to have a chance to sit down and talk to you about the perk here at the Intercultural Development Research Association, what we are doing, and how we happen to have become a part of this publication because of these unique and exciting things I think that you are doing in your project. I want to thank you for your time this afternoon. I want to thank our listeners for taking time out to listen to this podcast. And remember, we do invite you to go online and email us if you would like to, or contact us through the various ways that will be given to you at the close of this podcast. We would love to hear from you, any of your thoughts, any of your questions, and in this case, particularly about your concerns, questions, and thoughts around parents' engagement with the public schools, and parental involvement in any way that you think it would help to strengthen the quality of schooling for all of our children and our public schools across the nation. We invite you to take care of yourself, and until the next time we have a chance to be back together, I'm Dr. Bradley Scott, signing off from the Intercultural Development Research Association.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org. or fill out the form on our podcast webpage at www.idra.org/podcasts.